So we are jumping in again to looking at the Holy Spirit. On the church calendar year, next Sunday we celebrate Pentecost. Anybody know what the importance of Pentecost is in the church year? I'll give you a piece of cheesecake after church if you can answer this. What's the importance of Pentecost? Anyone? The coming of the Holy Spirit. So those of you in the Bible study are just looking at Acts 2, which is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So Pentecost, which we celebrate every year, you could say is the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it's also like the birthday of the church. And so if you ever come to another Methodist church anywhere in the world, a lot of churches do this. They'll have colors. So right now we're in white because we're celebrating Easter season, Christ's appearances after the resurrection, white. Next week, we'll go to red. Any idea why red on Pentecost? Fire. That's right. Fire. Holy Spirit. So, I, in some, you know, goofy, rebellious way, said, let's not wait to Pentecost to talk about the Holy Spirit. Let's start now. And so we've already been looking at the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit work? How does that impact our lives as Christians? And the reason I kind of want to hang up my coat, if you will, in this topic of looking at the Holy Spirit is I think that the Holy Spirit is oftentimes misunderstood. Oftentimes, maybe we're even a little afraid of the Holy Spirit. Because when we talk about Jesus Christ embodied in the flesh, right? Incarnate Son of God with skin on, like us, somehow that seems a little bit less scary. But sometimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, right? The presence, the power of God, but we can't see, but we can see sometimes manifestations of how does this work? And so I want to encourage us in this season as we look at the Holy Spirit that we don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not come in and possess us in a way that controls us and we have no will anymore. It's not like that. The Holy Spirit's character is like Christ that we've been studying, right? The Holy Spirit loves us. The Holy Spirit wants good for us. And we can open ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit, or we can say no thank you in one form or a fashion, right? So the Holy Spirit does not pressure us, does not push or override our own will. The Holy Spirit comes as invited. Now, I still think sometimes visuals help, so I'm going to share a visual. Show and tell, huh? Do you like show and tell? I like show and tell. You know, things we pack in our suitcase, Aaron. So this is from Ghana, where we used to live. And I think this is a good symbol in art that I've found to represent the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's all made from the same essence, the same substance. It's all from the same piece of wood. The Holy Spirit is one, right? You go to the Old Testament, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that's part of why the early church struggled so much, because how does this work? One times one times one is one. Right? And why sometimes the Jewish religious leaders thought that Jesus was blaspheming because he was claiming to be God. So I want you to see that when we talk about the Trinity, which is a word not in the Bible, but it's theologically in the Bible, we're talking about one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, same essence. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Son, the Father, these are relational words that God uses that we see in the scripture to help us understand the distinctive roles and nature of God. So throughout the scripture, we might hear about the Father. You might hear God the Almighty, God the Creator, God the Sustainer, God the Provider. Right? There's all kinds of names for God Almighty, who is over all. Then when we talk about the Son, right? The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the High Priest, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We can probably think of more, right? Names for Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want to say to you, the Holy Spirit is not an it. I really like Star Wars. Any other Star Wars fans? I really like Star Wars, but the Holy Spirit is not a force that's impersonal. The Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit is a force. I know, wouldn't that be cool to do that? The Holy Spirit does have power, but the Holy Spirit is a person. Is a person. And today we're going to look at some other names for the Holy Spirit. Yes. Other names for the Holy Spirit. So other names for the Holy Spirit you're going to see in John 14 are the Helper. The Greek there is parakletos, which is this idea of the Holy Spirit now is going to come and be with us. Other words in the Greek are comforter, advocate, teacher, intercessor, defender. So the Holy Spirit is talked about here in John 14. So I'm going to just put this up here for our visual today. On the Holy Spirit. So let's dig in to John 14. In John 14, verse 16, now this is context. Jesus is with the disciples in the upper room. So context, Jesus is about to be betrayed. He's about to be arrested. He's about to be set up on false accusations and be accused of blasphemy and condemned to death, beaten, crucified, and die on the cross. That's all about to happen. And right here in John 14 through 16, which I think are some of the most profound teachings of Christ, this is like his last big teaching moment with his disciples before he goes to the cross. And in this context is John 14 that was just read. Jesus says to them, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, the Helper, who will be with you forever. And he is another name, the Spirit of Truth. And then Jesus goes on to say, the world can't know him, but you can know him. You know him, and he can dwell with you. Then he goes on. He says to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. So Jesus, in each of the Gospels, repeatedly warns his disciples, I'm going to die. I am going to not be with you forever. Bodily, I am going to be killed. He warns them. And here he's saying to them, I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to leave you, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you desolate. I'm not going to leave you alone in loneliness. No, I'm going to come to you. In a little while, and you won't see me, but because I live, you will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So I want you to see that picture that Jesus is painting of this great intimacy, this great unity in relationship. So Jesus is saying, my Father has loved you as I have loved you. The Holy Spirit loves you as I have loved you. And in relationship, you can remain in me through the Helper that we're sending. And then verse 20, it says, on that day, you will know. Now, let's talk about knowing. When I wake up in the morning and get out of bed, I do not have to contemplate certain things. Now, there's some things I contemplate, maybe around and round and round, but some things I just know. Like, when I wake out of bed in the morning, I don't have to wonder if I'm married or not. Isn't that glorious, Kirk? I don't have to wonder. I know I'm married. 25 years ago, not this ring, I lost my real one, but I know 25 years ago, Kirk, we got married. And every day that's part of my reality, my existence, my being. I know I'm married. I don't have to wake up in the morning and contemplate, am I single, am I married? I know I'm married. And here Jesus is saying, in that day you will know that I'm with you. And so I think a question maybe for all of us to consider out of this text is, do you know? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is with you? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is with you? And it's something you know, or maybe you don't know. And so the scripture teaches that the way you get to know the Holy Spirit is through Christ. And that one of the benefits, right? One of the blessings, or I could say the gift, the best gift Jesus wants to give you is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, the advocate, the teacher. Do you know? And then he goes on to say, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then he says, anyone who loves me will keep my word. Now, I just want to highlight that throughout this passage we just had read, there's a lot about love and obedience. Love and following my word. Love and commands. Keeping commands. And, you know, I was thinking about this, that can kind of feel wooden. That can even sometimes feel harsh. Like, well, is that not conditional? If you love me, then you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will obey. I want to say that word of obey and commandments is meant for when you're in relationship. So since I'm picking on Kirk, I'll keep picking on him. I love you, honey. Because I love Kirk, right? I love to do things that he likes. I know he likes coffee first thing in the morning. I have learned, don't talk to him right away in the morning. Give him coffee. Give him space. He likes introvert time. And don't talk to him. See, I wake up and I'm like the Energizer Bunny in the morning. I'm a morning person. So when we were first married, I would be like, and eventually I caught on, no, what he likes and maybe even needs is coffee and Nicole, be quiet. Right? So I've adjusted how I behave, how I relate to my husband, because I know what he likes. And because I love him, that's not a burden. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, right? Aiden and Eli know that Kirk Sims loves cheesecake and loves peanut butter. It's his birthday today. And so they made him a peanut butter cheesecake. We're going to share it with y'all if you stay for treats later. And they stayed up late working on it, right? They could have been doing other things, but they love him. So they delighted in making something for their dad that they love, right? So I'm just giving those just as kind of human, earthly, relational understandings, right? So when Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my teachings. It's not meant to be burdensome. It's meant to be this unity. Jesus was always saying things like, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only do what my Father tells me. Jesus delighted to please and honor the Father. And here Jesus is teaching and inviting us into that kind of unity of when we love Jesus, we delight in showing the one our soul loves that we're transformed, that we are paying attention to what Jesus teaches us. I hope that makes sense. Then it goes on to say, I want to point out this kind of Trinitarian formula here. He says in verse 23, if anyone loves me, says Jesus, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. Do you see the plural there? We will come to him. So again, it's that three in one. Same substance, same essence, right? One God. And after Jesus ascends, he sends, the Father and Son send the Spirit as the manifestation that we are to personally relate to. We live as New Testament Christians in the age of the Holy Spirit. It's the time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. The first coming of Christ has already happened, and we're waiting for the second coming of Christ. And in between is the age of the Holy Spirit. That's the age we live in. And that's why I think it's so important for us to understand who is the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives. Now, this word manifest, we will come to him. We will manifest ourselves to you. Manifest, another way to put it would be like to reveal, to show. It can be with signs and wonders. When you read in Acts 2, the first coming of the Holy Spirit manifest was through fire, through the sound of rushing wind, through babbling languages of different sorts. But manifest can also look differently. But it has that word of to make our home with you. And so I just really want to highlight that this manifest is a sign. But it's also more than a sign. It's also this idea of like moving in next door to you. Manifesting, like dwelling with you. Being with you. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with you, be with you, remain with you, manifest to you. You know, I've lived in Europe a number of years before we came to Prague. And living in Europe, it's come to my attention that many Europeans, not all, but many, like to do holidays where you can buy these like all-inclusive packages, where you like contact a travel agent and you book something through them, and then it's the flight, it's the hotel, it's the food. Are you familiar with that? Nod your head if you know all-inclusive holidays. In the U.S., it's often not like that. Like, the U.S., you book things separate, and you pay for everything as you go. But it's brilliant, isn't it, to do these all-inclusive things? You make one booking, and your flight's done, your hotel's done, you got food and drink. And I was thinking about how, what if, I'm going to pick on Americans now, I can do that. What if an American showed up at a European vacation that was all-inclusive? And they went to the buffet, and they saw all that food, right? All that glorious desserts and, right, all the options. And they thought, oh, I bet this is expensive. And I just spent all my money to buy the plane ticket and the hotel. And so that night they went up to their room and had crackers for supper. And then the next day they did the same thing, right? What if they settled for peanut butter and cracker Christianity? When it was all inclusive, you know what I'm saying? What if somebody didn't know that the food was included in the price? The drink was included in the price. And so what I want to say to all of us is remember that the Holy Spirit is part of the saving grace for you and me. And that's good news. It's not just about I go to Christ for forgiveness, though it is. It's not just about I come to Christ to have peace with God and to know that if I died, I'd be with God forever, though it is. Christianity through Christ is also about the gift of the Holy Spirit, that when you, by faith, lift up your eyes and say, Jesus, I believe in you, you are offered the gift of the Spirit to manifest, to dwell with you, and to give you empowerment and strength and comfort to live now. Not just when you die. Now, today. And I'm here to say, we don't have to live on our own strength. We don't have to live alone. We are invited into the Lord of the Rings. We're invited into the fellowship of the Trinity. We are invited into community. Do you see that? And that's such a powerful thing to know that Christianity is meant not just to white-knuckle yourself through the life that we live and the problems we go through and the struggles and the stuff thrown at us, right? That we can depend on the Comforter, the Spirit. And so I want to go back to the question, do you know? Do you know? Do you know the Holy Spirit? And let's go to prayer and just go right there with that question. If you don't know, ask. God, if your Spirit is real, I'd like to know the Holy Spirit. Start there. If you do know Christ, can you talk to Jesus now about the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life? Can you ask God to fill you with more of the Holy Spirit? Or maybe more crucially, that you would become more aware of the Spirit who is already wanting to be with you.